Blog Talk Radio.
Besides, relationships are people that are just waiting for something better to come along.
Spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
Who are you?
She said she's at, she's been down to the hospital with her mom's. We have one of the lovely ladies from the Every Woman talk show, Lady Yaz. She's wanting to, you know, chime in real quick and just kind of just show her support, because I know she's doing a lot of personal stuff. So we want to make sure we kind of can we slip her on real quick. I know it's kind of ridiculous protocol.
Let's do this.
All right, no doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring on line right now a lovely young lady, the one and only Miss Yaz of the Every Woman Talk Show. Welcome to the ride.
Hi,
yes.
Guys. Hello.
Yes, how are you doing,
yes,
darling?
I am wonderful. I'm blessed. Hello, Mr. Nas. Hi, Big Daryl. How you guys doing tonight?
Oh, we doing,
feeling blessed.
We're doing the thing tonight. Tonight,
yes. We're doing our thing.
I see. Well, congratulations on the premiere of the show tonight, and welcome with everything coming back tonight. And by the way, I just wanted to let you know, I'm not at the hospital visiting my mom. I'm actually going somewhere to go and share some information with some people at a hospital. So I'm just going to go and give back what's been given to me and just give back
all
to
right.
the community. That's what I'm doing.
That's what's great.
Yeah, I just wanted to pop in. I'm not going to keep you guys long. I just wanted to pop in and tell you guys, you know, first of all, Big Daryl, I hope I get to meet you Sunday.
Yes,
Uli, you and your lovely wife.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, I will see you guys Sunday. And, of course, Ms. Nas, I'll see you then as well. And you guys, I'm not going
right.
to keep you. You go ahead and do your thing, all right?
All right. Thank you for calling. Ladies
Thank
and gentlemen,
you,
put your hands together
you.
For the lovely Miss Yaz.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, brother.
All right.
That's the lovely Miss Yaz, man. You know, a lot of love and support, man. You know, let me ask you, Big Dog, first of all, we're doing something different we usually don't do. Usually we go with a panel of men. We're doing something different, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take it back to the nucleus, to the brothers who kind of like is the heart and soul of this. So we have our reasons for that. And you know what? We believe in being very transparent in what we do because we are men. Because all our men, you know, they're still part of the man of movement and the man of family because they always will be. But a lot of our men are doing so much powerful, awesome things through the community that their time is limited, you know. So we want to salute, first of all, our brother, Edward L. Fairley. He's doing his thing in Virginia,
yes.
And he's always doing his thing. So we love you, man, no doubt, always. And hopefully during the season, we'll come and chime in. But the man is super busy. But, you know, his time is precious. He does mentoring. He does so much. Can't forget, of course, our other brother, the one only Mr. Tom Reynolds. You know, he's always
yeah.
busy. He's constantly Brother Tom Reynolds. Brother Daryl, who else is we want to acknowledge from the show who's kind of doing different things in the community, spreading that man-up movement? Who else?
Oh, look, we also have to acknowledge the one, the only, Mr. DeLacy Davis. How do we not acknowledge Lacy Davis?
Especially what's going on, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we're going to talk about it tonight, Big Dog. And we can't forget about Big Oz. Big Oz. Shout out to you,
big,
my dude, right
big.
There. Can't forget about my other brother. You know, listen, I also want to say a prayer. He'll put his hands on the brother.
Right.
You know, we can't forget about Brother Jamie as well. Brother Jamie, we love you. Now, let me just tell you, Brother Daryl, you may not have known, it just happened recently, and I kind of given this man his time to grieve with his family. One of our co-hosts, Brother Ernest, he recently just lost his father. Our prayers and our condolences going out to him and his family. That doesn't require no applause. It requires us to acknowledge, and you know, we want to respect his time, but he's a prayerful man of God, and we want to just acknowledge him, and we pray for him and his family. But with that being said, Brother Dow, let's kick this party up. And you know what's been going on with you, man? What's happening with you?
Oh, brother, I mean, what isn't going on with me? You know, the business Bricks for Kids is doing
mm-hmm.
wonderfully right now.
We
got things. We got stuff going with Shadow Worlds, we launching shows, we're doing the thing for Shadow Worlds. Then you got
to
turn around, and then after that, we got I'm just started working for Delta Airlines, so, you know, big shout out to the crew at Delta.
Okay.
You know, then on top of that, I have accepted the call of God, and I am now.
Oh, that's right.
I am also now a minister.
Congratulations.
An aspiring minister. Yes, exactly. You know.
So I can't cuss.
No. Look, you know, it is what it is, baby. I mean, like I said, it is what it is, baby. You know what I mean? You know, if you feel strong, you know, it is what it is. Then on top of that, still got some more stuff going on. I am running for the presidency of the Oranges and Maplewood National Association for the Advancement of Color People.
You want to break that down, brother, for the people you broke down. You gave the whole name. You may even give them the acronym.
The NAACP. So, yes, the Oranges Maplewood branch of the NAACP, Jersey's oldest, third oldest in the nation. You know, so, you know, we giving it up. We doing the thing for that,
yes.
So you know we in there on that. We in there like Flint. So there's a lot, there's keeping up with my wife, there's keeping up with my daughters, you know. So now, bruh, you know, what's been up with you?
Oh man, I mean, you know, besides work, you know, I'm doing the regular family stuff that we doing.
Yep.
What else we doing? I mean, also. Making a lot of powerful moves with my Boy Scout troop in East Orange. And then let me first say, everybody, I'm saying it loud and clear. Troop 8 in East Orange is the oldest African-American troop in the state of New Jersey, if not one of the oldest in the nation, and celebrating 101 years, African-American troop. It's hard to say that because, you know, how many times you get, you know, African-American organizations to stay together, especially in this time that we're living in. So it's an honor to be a part of that. And, you know, also it appears that they'll be passing the mantle to me, and I will be in charge of the troop out of East Orange. It's in the final year of transition, and I will be in charge. That's a great honor to be in charge of such a strong legacy of 101 years. So that's a challenge on top of it. So, you know, I hope I can do right with men like Brother Dow and other men and women, the parents, because without our parents' strong community, we can't raise our young men to be better men. What else I'm in part of? I've been asked to be part of a board of directors for organizations, Moms Against Murdered Sons and Daughters. I will be on that administration for the board of directors. Also, Roar, that's ran by Miss Yaz. She's has a program coming up helping out counsel drug addicted and alcohol abused women and help them try to get clean. And she'll be asking you, by the way, brother. So I'm just letting you know to be on the board of directors. So you know, it's. You know, sometimes they say your work speaks for yourself, and it's an honor when people can ask you, reach out to you, say, listen, what you're doing, I like your vibe, I know who you're about, I need you to be part of what I'm doing, you know, can you help me out? And in turn, you know, if I can help someone else out, help our community, then it's a blessing, it's an honor, and you know, I say this to anyone listening to this show, right here on the Man Up Show, that's something we've always been about. You know, no more excuses. This year, it's no excuses because it's real. Because tonight, we're going to be talking about it. If you get a call, stop being selfish. Get off your ass. Stop saying, I don't have time. Stop saying, making excuses that you can't help. Oh, my kids are grown. I don't got to deal with that no more. Let me tell you something. You know, you live in the same community with these young people out here. If you don't help and be a part of the problem, you can't complain about the problem. You have to be a part of the solution, not the damn problem. You can't keep complaining about something if you're not willing to put work in and try to help your community. Don't talk about it, be about it. You know, you got a lot of these organizations out here. You got organizations out here that's against domestic violence. You know, and I'm honored to, you know, my lady, my wife is a part of stuff like that, you know, that fights against domestic violence. It's all around. But we're going to talk about all that this year. And, you know, it's done. No more excuses. On the Man Up Show, that's why me and Big D were saying, you know what, we're going to take away the propaganda. No disrespect to my other brothers. It's going to be men on men talking about what's happening in our community. And we're going to get other men involved. We're going to get other women involved. We're going to get communities involved. You know, we just want to be able to provide a platform, provide a voice, and we want to be men of action, not just talk the talk. We walk the walk, and that's why a lot of our
there
men from the prior shows are actually in the community doing stuff. They can't be here every week, and they told us that, and we salute them for that. But you know what? Let's get this show going on. Once again, we're here in the Man Up Show. Let's go.
Yes, sir.
So, tonight's topic. Ooh. You know, before we go into the show, I know Brother Dowell's of your minister, and, you know, I know he's minister now, but please forgive him, Lord, because I know he, you know, you ain't done with him yet, because there's going to be some times he may slip up. He's going to slip up because he speaks on a passionate place. Yeah, he speaks on a passionate place. And I think sometimes people need to stop acting phony. Yeah, I said it. Stop acting phony. Wake the hell up. Stop acting like things, you know, is going to go away. Open your eyes. See what's really going on. Let me explain something to you guys. This topic, we didn't need no drawn-out word when we did the marketing on this. It's plain and simple. Wake up. That's what it is. So tonight we're going to talk about a little bit of the state of where we live in the United States, and then we're talking from an African-American standpoint. Men. I can't speak for no other cultures. I can't speak for them because I'm not white. I'm not Hispanic, but I can speak as a African-American man, a black man. And so can Brother Dowell. We can speak from that perspective. You know what I'm saying?
Look, brother, I was about to say, let me clarify something. I have never been Negro. I've never been colored.
Amen.
I sure ain't nobody's nigger. Now,
You might have said it again.
You know, sure ain't nobody's nigger. Now, I have not quite evolved. I have not quite evolved into becoming an African American. Even though I know many of African American, and I'm very proud to know them, and proud to associate them, I love them. You know, but I am still a black man. That's just me.
I'm glad you said that. I mean, and I'm glad you're correct. I think we talked about it outside of the show. You know, what is it like? What's different? I mean, cause I think the label, the label African American came from someone else. Me personally, I'm proud to say I'm a black man. Personally, I know the politically correct African American. Listen, at the end of the day, I consider myself a black man. I mean, it is. You know, that's who we are. I mean, the terminology just kind of irks my damn nerve at times.
I mean, it doesn't bother me at all. Like, if somebody asks, you know, are you an African American, or if there's a form and it says African American and doesn't say black, I'm going to mark African American. I have no problem being identified as an African American. Because the terminology, like I say, terminology changes from generation to generation, and I get that. But to me, I am still one of them James Brown sing it loud, I'm black and I'm proud kind of individuals. You know, I'm still there. That's where I am. That's where I'm chilling. That's where I'm at. You know, it's all gravy. You know, I have nothing against anybody else's self-evaluation and what they refer to themselves as in their self-evaluation as it pertains to race. I feel that race is a big... Nowadays, you know, like since we've been off the air, now mind you, things were getting off the hook. Before
That's
we went off the air,
big dog.
You know, I mean, like, you know, I mean, there was... I mean, like I said, when we were on the air and before we went off, you know, we were dealing with, I mean, who was the last person that got, was it Freddie Gray?
You know, it's,
was
I'm
it?
Trying to remember from last show. Yeah, no, you know what, you may be right, bro, because since Freddie Gray would have to be the last thing we were dealing with, but just so much stuff was going on.
Right.
That
you know,
even me and you Are you serious?
Right. Exactly. You know, I mean, from, you know, riots in Charlotte to police officers murdered in Dallas, innocent men being shot in Indianapolis and in Oklahoma. And I mean, that poor brother, my brother, just his car broke down. My brother is 6 feet 2 inches tall. I'm 6 feet 1 inch tall. He weighs 350 pounds. I weigh 350 pounds. He's bald, so am I. There, for the grace of God, though, I very easily could have been me. And that man had his hands raised up in the air, walking away from the person. Put his hands on the car. They tasered him. Then they shot and killed him.
Jesus.
The lack of value on our lives as black men. You have Colin Kaepernick, quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. I got to give it up for my brother. You know, he took a stand. So, you know, putting awareness, you know, trying to, you know, bring awareness to the situation to those who are not necessarily aware. Getting scrutinized, you know, for taking a stand. You know.
Well, brother, I'm going to give you a quick pause, but I want you to explain, because we have some listeners that don't know who Colin Kaepernick is. So you may want to kind of explain those for those just tuning in, checking us out, first-time callers or first-time listeners, welcome to the pod. Brother Dow, explain that. I mean, you know, some people don't know. I mean, I know me and you are, you know, we love our football, but some people don't know who he is.
Right. Well, Colin Kaepernick is the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. He took them to the Super Bowl. He's taken them to the NFC Championship game. He's doing many a wonderful thing in the community, and he wanted to take a stand. When they were playing the national anthem, he feels that the national anthem doesn't represent him, other brothers of color. So, you know, not trying to disrespect anyone or anybody else's belief in it or the troops or anything of that nature. This is about the lack of concern and the lack of accountability for the execution of black men by law enforcement. So he decided not to stand for the national anthem. He'd already been doing it maybe 2 weeks before anybody really took notice to the fact that he wasn't doing it. Then one of his friends in the military told him, maybe sitting is a little bit disrespectful, but why don't you just take a knee? So he said, okay, fine, I'll do that. And thus spurring the movement by a lot of NFL football players now who are either they're locking arms or they're taking knees or they're, you know, putting their fists in the air, you know, and you just to acknowledge that, you know, yes, America is a land of opportunity, not saying that it's not, but America has a long way to go, and America built itself up off of the back of our fathers and our forefathers, and, you know, that's just real. You know, you might not like it, but, you know, it's the truth. You know, you got to where you are off of the sweat, the labor, the lives, and the deaths of my forefathers and your forefathers. And, you know, I mean, this is just the reality of what exists today. When I hear men like Donald Trump say that, you know, you want to make America great again, what he's saying is, he wants to take us back. He wants to take us way back, you know, he wants to take us back to them Jim Crow days.
We're gonna light up into that one, because that was glad you said it, because that was another show. We're gonna talk about what he really means by make America great again. We're going to address that issue definitely.
We're going to definitely, before Election Day, matter of fact, I think it would be apropos if we do it the Friday before Election Day.
I think it'd be appropriate.
You know, I think we need to go in on Mr. Trump and, you know, remember how he tried to single-handedly, matter of fact, he's still on this kick about the Central Park Five.
We know what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I'm going to let you know here and now. On that show, me and Big D, we're going to go through, we're going to dig hard. You know what? He likes media, yeah, whatever. I hope he's listening to the show, and I hope he gets the attention. You know, we're going to go in on him. We're going to go hard on him.
You know, look, you know.
We're going to pull up everything.
Get ready to pull out the evil tweets, because we're coming. We're coming for you.
Exactly.
You know, so we're going to go in on that subject. There ain't no doubt about it.
But you know what? You said something that people need to understand. You know, you made a comment about whether they like it or not. You know what? You know, everybody want to marginalize what blacks go through. They want to say, well, it's not slavery no more. You want to marginalize. And what happened is they want to downsize what has happened in the past and the present. Well, it's not happened to you. Or it's okay, but, you know, you shouldn't overreact. No, let me explain, so make it really clear. Like Brother Big D said, you know, our history, this American history, you know, without slavery, a lot of things wouldn't have been done. I'm not justifying it. You know, you went to another country, you stole people. You stole people. You stole Africans. You brought them over here to Jamestown in 1619 to provide labor for crops to help develop the tobacco crop, excuse me. And off of that, you're talking about 3 centuries later, slavery was still embraced. Even into our Constitution, it was still embraced, and we was referred to as other people in our Constitution. And make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, the same Constitution that people say, you know, you're not American, let me explain something to you. And it's kind of backing up your point with Colin Kaepernick and, you know, I'm not anti-American, but I am American. You know, I do love my country, but also understand the history that we've gone through, and we still have a long way to go. And so I'm still fighting for rights. You know, in our same Constitution, it clearly has where they protect some of the rights of of slavery. They actually justified it. It took other amendments of the Constitution to kind of override that. But you notice he never took it out. You ever peep that out, Big D? They never took it out. They always left it in there.
Matter of fact, do you realize that every 25 years...
Don't get me started on that one. I was going there.
The president has to sign into law that we have the right to vote and to be considered a human being. Every 25 years.
I don't think people understand how powerful that is. I don't think people understand the magnitude of that is. Basically, it's saying it's coming upon a 50th anniversary. I did some research on Washington Post, where that Voters' Rights Act. Why you need to hit a renew button?
Right.
Why we need to hit a renew button, or it's about to expire, we need to hit a renew button to give blacks the right to vote. Why is this even a discussion? Why the hell is it even there? I mean, come on now, people. Wake up. Real talk,
There is no other race of human being that has to be legitimized a 25 years or any other time. You are a human being. That's what you are. You have the right to vote. You are an American citizen. You have the right to vote. But our right to vote is up to legislation in 25 years. Now, they say, well, there's no way that this can happen. If there was no way that it can happen, then guess what? They wouldn't come up every 25 years.
Let me ask you a profound question. No, you're right. But let me ask you a question, Big D, and I'm pretty sure we got listeners asking that same question that's listening to the show, and those who's going to archive and ask that same question. Is there any legal right within our government that they can give it a certain things of the amendments in our Constitution, or is that set in stone?
I mean, actually, there's nothing really that is set in stone. I mean, it could be voted upon. It could be brought back up. It could be first it has to go to the House of Representatives, then it goes to the Senate, then it goes to the White House. Then after that, it's done. It's a bill. It's a law. That's it. So it's like anything else. It could be voted into law that, you know, no longer will we ever have to do this ever again. And then that's it. And that's all.
Now, you know what? I'm glad you said that. But exactly. Now, I'm going to say this, and, you know, it's going to make some people uncomfortable, and I don't really give a two shits about it. Excuse my language. But real talk. You know, excuse me, Mr. Minister. But why is our president not doing that? Why can we have that on the table?
I can tell you that right now. I mean, my brother can't. Let me give, you know, I mean, big shout out to Barack Hussein Obama, the president of the United States of America. Give it to that brother. Because, all right, remember as I said in the first place, first, it has to go through Congress. Then it has to go through Congress. It has to go through the Senate. Then it has to go through the Senate. Then it goes to the President. Then the Senate. Then the President gets to sign it. And then once it's signed, it's done. This brother can't even appoint a Supreme Court justice, and it's his right to do so. I mean, literally, the obstructionists, and I'm going to say this, obstructionists, the reason why this Republican Party is split in two, it's split in two of two different kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
There are conservatives who just happen to believe that there should be little government and you should try to protect, you know, the cats that got a little extra dinero. So that's just what they believe. It ain't personal. It's just business. And I ain't mad at you. That's how you feel. I ain't mad at you. There are a lot of brothers who are Republicans for that same very same purpose. You know, I don't know why we got to pay for it. I don't need to keep my money. So I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But there is the other part of the Republican Party, the Donald Trump frenzied Republican Party. They don't like blacks. They don't like Latinos. Women are only good for certain things, if you know what I mean. They don't do gays. They don't do immigrants. They don't do anybody that don't happen to look like them, talk like them, and are like them. You know, they're not about inclusion. They're about exclusion. You know, what make America great again is make sure that everything looks exactly the way, let's say, it did in 1950.
Mm-hmm.
That's make America great again. 1950 wasn't too great for us.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Now, I mean, even up here in North New Jersey, it wasn't too great for us. You know, forget talking about Alabama. Or North Carolina, South Carolina. We ain't talking about just down south. We're talking up north. We're talking all over the place. I mean, segregation existed. You know, you black, you ain't supposed to be in a certain area. You know, I mean,
you're a grown man,
60 years old, being called boy.
Even up here, bro. Even up here.
Yeah, so, I mean, Real talk. You know, over the course of the season, we're going to have certain brothers come on, older brothers, you know, who paved the way for us, who are lucky to have, you know, seen some things firsthand and lived through some things firsthand. And, you know, we need to pull all our issues and all our cards out on the table because, I mean, it's getting real out here. I mean, black-on-black crime. Me and you are both from Orange, New Jersey. You know, big shout-out to the Big O because that's where we're from. You know, Might not be where we are, but it is where we from. Now.
Exactly.
Now, understanding this, you know, over the summer, you know, there were over 8 shootings over the course of the summer. 8 shootings. Several homicides in a town that's only 3 seconds big.
And that's just a small town, brother.
It's just one
small town.
You know,
multiply.
I mean, like,
the stuff that's not even publicized. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, look. There's almost a homicide in Newark almost every day. Almost every day, there's a homicide in Newark. That's crazy. And it's black-on-black crime. It's not, you know, we ain't talking about the police shooting us up. We're talking about us shooting us up. There's such a lack of value to life with our young men. You know, I mean, we've done them a disservice. Part of the reason why this ride started about 5 years back was because we weren't addressing these issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seemed
exactly.
that nobody was addressing these issues. You know, me and you happened to have a conversation at an event that I was doing, you know, that, you know, you so graciously provided the sound and accoutrement for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we happened to be talking about, you know, hey, you know, realize that nobody is standing up and nobody is really speaking for us. There is no really public forum. You know, there's like open mic and, you know, and that's about it. You know, there's nobody really talking about it. So we need to, you know, maybe we need to do something about that. And that's how this was spurned. That's how this was born. And, you know, and here we are, you know, season 5, we getting it in. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we need to bring awareness to what is actually going on in our communities. We need to bring awareness into, you know, our situation and
That's
our
correct.
Situations. You know, look, you know, everybody, you know, we're back on the air. That's our new number is.
Yes.
Because somebody just texted me, you know, going like, you know, I can't get on. Well, it's not the same number. My
the
bad.
New number.
It's 516-666. Now, I ain't necessarily fond of that number, mind you, but 516.
Yeah, I know. Listen. Once again, you got to pay attention to the details, brother. Why did they change that number and they put 666? Well, listen, I'm just saying. I'm not saying a conspiracy. I'm just saying.
Right.
We didn't change the number. Our powered source changed the number and decided we're going to put 666 in front of it. This is real
talk. You know, 519-666-9947. That's 516-666-9947. Call, get on the ride. The Man Up Show is back on the air. So come on, give us a call, give us a ring. Like I said, we're going in tonight. The topic of tonight's show is wake up. We've been run over, run down, run over.
Enough.
We have
That's
been
it.
Shot. We've been tased. We've been chased.
Enough.
We've been shackled. We've been thrown in jail. We're being hung. We've been castrated physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. People are coming after us left and right.
And they want us to keep talking peace. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what? Listen, man. Oh, my God. DJ Crime out in Atlanta, we've had a talk. He's one of the followers of the show. He made a comment to me, and we talked over the summer, and he's like, you know, listen, man, you know, I love the show. He's like, you know, make sure the content and what our dialogue matches the content. But I always read some of his posts. We always want to talk about peace. I'm all for peace. I am. I trust me, I am. But you know what, man? Sometimes I get tired of paying this passive-aggressive thing. Oh, you know, peace. I mean, listen, man, it comes to a point where you get fed up already. You just get fed up. Enough is enough already. Enough of seeing our people getting shot down. And, you know, we got people with their hands in the air. You got people, innocent people. All right, help me out here, Big D. that young lady down in one of the southern states, please forgive me, I'm going to pull up the research as we're talking about it, as we're behind the scenes. She was in the car with her boyfriend. Boyfriend had nothing. He gets shot in the passenger side. Posed no threat.
Oh, That was in Minneapolis. That was in Minnesota.
I stand corrected.
Okay.
Right. That's bananas to me.
Yeah, I mean, look.
That's crazy.
My man never did anything. I mean, anything to anyone yet. They found the audacity. It was an Oriental cop that shot him. And when asked why he shot him, the response was, "I don't know."
It's fear. Let's just keep
it's
fear. It's no more damn fear. But you know what? This crap got to stop, because you can't justify fear of something you don't know as, you know what, I'm gonna shoot. And what happens is, if it's a level of accountability held against these many of our peace officers, police officers, if it's a level of accountability and it's shown and done about it, then we'll think twice. A level of training. Now, they always say, me being a former officer that have gone through the academy, they always say, the mission is to come home. One of your top missions is to come home. You know, and I'm pretty sure Brother DeLacy will also say the same thing. You know, the job is to come home. But you can't have fear just because he's black, he's a little big. You know, you can't use that as a fear tactic. It just has to stop. And, you know, or I don't know. You know damn well. You was afraid. You say, you know what, I'm going to shoot him. This man posed no threat. And that can't always be the excuse. What needs to happen is our systems, the court systems, have to hold these men accountable, hold these officers accountable. But they won't do it because 9 times out of 10, it's the same damn courts is also on the same side of the officers, because they'll find these same officers, their testimonies are always deemed credible beyond the average Joe that's in court. So if you had to go to court against a police officer, wrote a ticket, whatever, they're going to lean to the side of the officer because they can deem that person more credible. While they're trained, they're more credible, or they're a servant of the public sector law enforcement field. So, yeah, you know, we're going to deem them more credible than you. That has to stop. We have to stop. You know, the courts have to stop leaning towards that. The prosecutor, hell, they have lunch with half these damn officers and stuff like that. Last time, you know, they need these same officers to do testimonies for them. So they're working out deals. So, you know, the courts need to wake up. The courts have to wake up. You can't keep having the same practices. There has to be a level of accountability. It has to start from the police to the courtroom. There has to be in the courtroom. Who controls the courtroom? The state. I mean, am I wrong?
No, brother. I'm with you. I'm with you 1,000%. I mean,
someone has to man up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we are a voice, but damn it, man. I mean, Jesus. I mean, how many times you went to court, you know, and you had to go against an officer who made an accusation on you, wrote a ticket, and you're like, damn, you know, I'm not going to win this one just because this idiot here. Just because he said something, you know, well, he had a weapon. Well, damn, you know, you didn't find it on me. How many times we've heard that story? How many times we've heard, well, we discovered he had this drugs on him, and the person's saying, no, it's that person's word versus that person's word. Then the other officer that's with them is going to back the play of that officer, because if it goes against them and it's nothing credible, they don't have the right evidence, they're going to say, I'm going to back my man's play right here because that's my fellow officer. So now
right.
the defendant's looking like an effing idiot. He's like, you know, damn, I ain't going to win this at all. And that goes now, it gets even bigger, because now you got a system with wrongly prosecuted people in jail. But once again, how many people in jail are people of color, whether they're black or whether they're Hispanic? Yeah, I notice a lot of whites in jail, and I get all that. But there's got to be a level of accountability on police officers. There's got to be a level of accountability on our courts. There's got to be something to hold them accountable. You know, and then when they make these wrong decisions or they do these deplorable acts, that some type of consequences imposed, whereas now you wouldn't be afraid of something, be afraid of the goddamn consequence that your ass is going to end up in jail. You know, that police officer. So he'll think twice, you know, damn, if I do this, I can end my ass in jail for the next 10 years. You know, I'm just being honest with you. I'm sorry for venting, big dog.
No. I mean, this... this situation is crazy out here. Like, okay, the shooting in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting in Charlotte. Keith Lamont Scott.
Buttoning that stuff a little bit. Sorry, man.
You know, God rest his soul. You know, he suffering from a traumatic head injury. May I also say that North Carolina is an open carry state. You can carry a weapon in North Carolina. It is completely legal. There's nothing illegal about carrying a gun in North Carolina. The police are trying to arrest a man that has nothing to do with Mr. Scott, his family, or anything of that nature. They say that they observed him with a gun. Once again, it's an open carry state. So you observed him with a gun. Well, Mrs. Scott says that he didn't have a gun. Now, there are some discrepancies. Now, I'm not going to tell anybody what to think or what to believe. But what we do know is that his wife was hollering that he doesn't have a gun. His wife asked him to get out the car. When he got out the car, from the angles in the pictures that I saw, I didn't see a gun. Doesn't mean that it wasn't one, but I sure didn't see a gun. You know, even though, like I said, it's a bad camera angle, perhaps, maybe, I missed it, but I never saw it. But I do know that that man was shot, and initially looking at the ground, couldn't see a gun. I know they pulled his pants down, which I'm like, why?
Excuse me?
Yeah, they pulled
his pants down. Whoa, hold on. I know, I thought I heard that. Was that really situation on that one? Are you kidding?
That's what happened. And whether they were checking him for a weapon or whatever the heck, I don't know. But they did, and that's unbelievably disrespectful because the man is dead. But when you see the helicopters above and they were taking pictures, you could see what looked like a gun on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at one point, I never saw it, and then at the next point, I did see something that looked like a gun.
Mm-hmm.
What's the truth? Who knows? But the people of Charlotte, they had their thoughts, and they had their beliefs. On
yes,
what it was, what was real, what was going on, what went down, and, you know, and they took to the streets. You know, they took it to heart. They decided to get real with it. You know, they weren't playing, you know, they were going in. And okay, like I said, these brothers and sisters were, you know, terribly, terribly affected, terribly, terribly, you know, upset about what was transpiring in their community, and they went to peaceful protests.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say that again: peaceful protests. I believe that it was the police that were the agitators in this situation, because you know, if you can't control something, you know, let's try to destroy it. Let's try to bring it down. So, you know, so for several days, you know, you have nothing but, you know, total civil unrest in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, you know, you had what was going on in Charlotte. You had what happened in Louisiana. You had what happened in Minneapolis. You had what happened in Oklahoma. On and on and on and on and on. Now, the officer in Oklahoma was brought up on charges. You know, finally, you know, somebody brought up somebody on charges. I don't know what to do, but, you know, finally, you know, just some form. It's some form of justice.
That's
some
right.
Form of justice. You know, we got to bring up somebody on charges. You know, you have to we have to make a stand. You know, we have to be able to make a statement. You know, this, our lives matter. The lives of our sons matter. The lives of our grandsons, they matter. They matter. They count. You know, you're mm-hmm. not just going to shoot them because you're afraid of them. You know, that's just not happening. You know,
you had to say it again, brother. Say that again. It is what it is.
You are not going to shoot our sons because you are afraid of them. I mean, I feel mm-hmm. that society itself has planted the seed of distrust toward our sons. I feel that society has put our sons behind the eight ball even more now than ever before in history.
Yes, we are.
We have to double down. You know, things that you're doing, things that I'm doing, things that others are doing. I want to give a shout out to a brother, John Blanton, him and his group. Men Make a Difference, because men do make a difference. I give them a shout out for that. I give a shout out to Reg Miller. Reg Miller went to school with us. Him and the
Brotherhood program.
Give Reggie a big shout out. You know, I give a big shout out to Matt Stevens, who's doing his thing for young black men. I give a big shout out to Lacey Davis, who does stuff for young black men. I give a big shout out to Eddie Fairley, who does stuff for black men. I give a big shout out to all the brothers who stand the gap. Tom Reynolds, Brent Osborne. I could go on and on and on with the brothers.
Yeah, it's just so many strong brothers. But you know what, man? It's just. You know, sometimes it sounds like a lot, but it's still a little.
I was about to say that. You know, Les Marsh, on and on and on. You know, big shout out to Big Les. You know, I can go on and on and on with brothers I know who are contributing to the cause.
Oh, well, you can't forget about the brothers on the open line. You have to forget about the brothers on the open line.
Yeah, open line. Absolutely. That's good. You know, without them, we wouldn't be here, you know.
Yeah, you know, they inspired us, brothers.
Stoney and Judge Pickett, and all the brothers. You know, Bob Slade. You know, much love. You know,
definitely.
Reverend
definitely.
Al, Politics Nation. Big shout out for that. You know, there are a lot of people who do stand the gap. But for everyone that does, there's always a whole bunch of cats, you know, who don't, you know, who just, you know, sit there and, you know, they talk about it, but they don't be about it.
Exactly.
You know, there's a lot of brothers who talk a good game and they profit off of it too. You know, politicians and, you know, even some people in the clergy too, you know. Well, you know.
That's another show, brother.
It's definitely a show we're gonna do on that too, but you know that you know stand there and you know we'll talk you know piously about what is going on in this world, and yet are not doing anything to contribute to it. You know, it doesn't make any sense. You know. We're doing the best that we can with what we got. No, we're not. You know, we're not exercising all the options that we have. We're not coming in.
But,
we're not doing what we need to do. We're standing
there.
But it is
a lot of standing around. But you know what? Then what about those who's trying their best to be a part of the community? But for whatever reason or another, it's something in the system. Now, and I'm going to say system because I don't believe nothing just happens just to be happening. I believe it's by design. You know, when you have people, all of a sudden you have powerful people trying to, you know, strong people of color stepping up, trying to make a change in their community. And look what happens to those people. I'm just saying, it happens.
Right.
Whether they're getting killed, whether they die mysteriously, whether something happened to them, you know, they're brought dragged in the news or discredited, something happens. You know, I'm even going to take it a step further. Now, a lot of people say what they want. The Black Panther Party was originally made, and they were originally, their concept was, and I'm going to talk about it. Their original concept was the Black Panther Party for self-defense. Key word,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen,
yes.
Self-defense. It was because of police brutality that was overwhelming in the Oakland community in California. It was founded in 1966 by Huey Newton and Bobby Seale. You know, their purpose was to patrol our neighborhoods, to protect the residents from acts of police brutality. Now, once again, ladies and gentlemen, they modify these laws because they don't want people of color protecting themselves. So they changed that law where you can carry certain guns and stuff like that in open states. Now, even to today, once again, we're going back. Now we're going to speed it up years from that point. There's a man who had a license to carry in an open gun state. You just said it earlier in the show, and he was still shot and killed.
Yep.
They don't want us protecting ourselves. And I'm going to say they. You can take it whoever it is. But people of color, let me tell you something. The show's called Wake Up. You need to wake your asses up and see what's really going on. See what's really going on. You gotta protect your family. You got to protect yourself. Damn what they say. And let me tell you something. If you got a wife, you got a kids, you got a family, you protect them all any means necessary. Don't be ashamed of that. You know, and I encourage. You know, I'm not saying everybody grab a weapon, but if you can protect your household, do it the right way. Go file your paperwork. You have the right to bear arms. That's also in the Constitution. Please don't make no mistake to that. You know, make no mistake about that. You know, you got a lot of people out here, you know, got stuff illegal. Let me tell you something. They're looking for a reason to lock your ass up for illegal weapons. Go file the right paperwork. You know, they're looking for a reason to lock your ass up. So do it the right way. Take your time and do it the right way. Fill out the paperwork. Do what you need to do. And if they still deny it, you have a right to go challenge them and say, listen, I filed my paperwork. I have the right to bear arms. You continue doing it. And they may still deny your application. You still have a right to defend your family. Because let me tell you something. At the end of the day, something goes wrong. It's time for you to protect your family. Do you think that some of our law enforcement officials are going to protect your family? Hell, they're not going to get out their damn cars because we've created military states. We allowed a lot of our police to become parties. Get the hell out the cars. Communicate, and be a part of your community. It's not us against them. Get out. Know who these people going on. And then it just kills me, the detectives that go into these various communities want to ask questions, but yet the same police is not a part of that community. You know, now, granted, you do have some police agencies that's out in the community, some. And it's very few, but not a lot. But that has to start at the top. There has to be an initiative started from the top and trickle down as an executive order. You see what I'm saying? I mean, a big deal. Let me take you back, man. You remember growing up? Now, those listening to the show, you had a lot of cops that actually knew your name. You know what I'm saying? We grew up with cops knowing our name. You cops that knew your family. You cops, whereas they said, you know, come on, man. And the same cops are also volunteering in the various sporting, PAL or football leagues. Don't you find it amazing that they are so quick to not fund and support those type of agencies within the police because they don't want it to happen? So you'll see PALs start to disappear from different police departments. If you ever really looked at that, it is happening nationwide. But yet they'll fund you to have certain weapons. You know, they want to, you know, we need to add training to make our officers more sensitive to the community. Well, how about this? Get your ass out the car. Stop being afraid. Because what's happening, the same fear that you're creating is causing that quick finger, that quick gun finger, because they don't know. You know what I'm saying? You're bringing these kids in here, these young people in here, and you're putting guns in their hand after training, but they know nothing about the community. Get them involved with the community. Put those substations in those hard-hit communities. Let me tell you something. Everybody knows where the drugs is. Everybody knows where the gangs is. Everybody knows where the drama is at. Go deal with that. Find out why. Bring back the truancy division. I'm going to tell you something straight up, because I guarantee you, if these officers and the truancy, and you open that back up, you find out, well, why is the kids walking the street at 3 o'clock in the morning? Or why are they not in school? If you find out why, not about arresting them, find out what's going on. Hey, listen, it's 12 o'clock at night, where you belong at? Pick that kid up, take him home, find out what's going on. If that parent is not home, there's a bigger issue in that household. You were doing more than just policing. You're now being a part of the solution, not the problem. Then on top of that, say during the day, you got a group of kids just walking the street, you'll find out why. Hey, listen, this kid over here belongs over here, and find that their parents not even around, or they'll run away. You know, but the solutions are there, but, you know, we as a community, we have to be a little bit more proactive. You know, we can't be reactive all the time. The answers are there, but just that our communities, our agencies choose to not address those issues because they want to put the money somewhere else. You know, it all comes down to money. But, you know, I'm just keeping it 100 with you, brother. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, that's my perspective from my experience. That's for me being on the inside, and that's for me also being a part of the community. You know, I see the problems. I know the problems. Big D know the problems. Many of you listening to this show right now know the problems. But we will, once again, going back, and I'm going to go back, like my brother Eddie Fairley used to say, we will bring it back. Many of you guys know the problem. Many of y'all see the problem. You choose to turn a blind eye because you figure it's not going to affect you. But then it becomes a problem when it affects you, then your ass want to do something about it.
When it comes to your house.
Yeah, you don't want to do nothing because it affects you. But then when it affects you, now we got to rally. Now we have to say something. Let me tell you something. That problem's always been there. I've always believed in being proactive, not reactive. Because those same kids, if you say, or those churches that put you away from the churches to the community, to the people, I don't want to deal with that. That's not my problem. Everyone, if you have a majority of our nation saying the same thing, this is not my damn problem. But then it will become, oh, now it's my problem. I mean, it's like that hamster in that damn wheel. We just keep going around the wheel. And you know what I'm saying? We're just spinning around in that damn sickening wheel. And you know what? There's somebody else watching and just sitting there like, yeah, look at them. It's entertaining. Look at those idiots. But we have to wake up. We have to realize that we're in this wheel. We have to realize that there's a problem. We have to realize we have to come with solutions. You know, the Man Up Show, we try to provide solutions. We try to provide a voice. We try to provide a sense of awareness. And that's why this year we chose to have no excuses in providing solutions. You know, we're going to say some things that are going to make some people uncomfortable. We really don't give a rat's ass, to tell you the truth. Real talk.
Nah, not really.
We really don't care.
Sorry.
So, you know, we're going to get a little more stronger, too, as well. Two brothers, two men, we're going to stand up, and you know, we're going to do what we have to do. We're going to provide a voice, we're going to provide awareness, and we're going to do what we always do. We've been doing for the last 5 years. We're going to keep it 100, and we're going to man up. This is the Man Up Show. That's all I'm saying. Big D, I'm sorry, man, if I took over a little bit of your time. Thanks,
brother. Brother, we have been dormant for the last about 6 months, roughly. So, you know, there's a lot to say. There's a lot to get off the old chest here. So, you know, we're going. So, you know, we going to be getting some stuff off. You know? So, you know, the fact that we're going to be getting it off, you know, it is what it is. You know, if others don't like it, you know. That's for them to deal with. You know what I mean?
I'll
tell you where to go and I'll tell you how to get there, partner. You know.
No,
you know, well,
being,
you
being,
don't
being
like
your
it.
Minister your minister now, I'll say the profound words.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you know, I'll tell you point blank. You know, if you want me to tell you from a biblical standpoint, I'll gladly even go into that as well. If, you know, you come into a place where you're not accepted, where you're not embraced, and where, you know, your God is not appreciated or loved or respected, you know, you're to, you know, wipe the dirt off your feet and leave that place.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, you know. You know, you want to say brush the dirt off your shoulders, knock yourself out. You want to say drop the mic, knock yourself out. You know, literally. I ain't about your stupidity. Literally. I ain't got nothing to do with you or your stupidity. That's
mm-hmm.
you. You know, you want to go out there and be a fool, you can be a fool on your own. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? I ain't got nothing to do with none of it. Being perfectly honest, being frank, you know, I ain't got nothing to do with it. So it's like, you know, if you want to do it that way, that's you. I'm not here to try to appease you. I'm not here trying to make you see something a certain kind of way. I'm not trying to convince you of something. No. Look, my job is to present the truth to you. And that's what I'm going to do. That's what you're going to do. That's what we do here. We just present the truth.
Right.
We just present the facts. You know, we give people an opportunity to voice their opinions and to state what they feel and what they believe. And, you know, what do you believe is the remedy to our situation? What are you bringing to the table? Because everybody has something to bring to the table, basically. You know, me, you, everybody has something to bring to the table. Matter of fact, just mention, we have a interview with the director of East Orange Recreation, one brother, Mr. Osmond J. Charles. You know, big shout out to Osmond. The reason for tonight's interview is tomorrow in the city of East Orange, they are hosting a fatherhood conference.
Okay.
Calling out all black men, let's come to the table with our issues, with our problems. Let's put it on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Get a job. Let's help you get a job. You got a record, let's help you try to expunge it. You have a problem with child support, well, let's try to deal with that. You know, you have a problem dealing with your kids, let's try to help deal with that. You have a problem dealing with that woman, woo! let's try to deal with that. You know, for real, for sure. You know, that can be kind of, definitely. You know, pretty much, you know, the situation as it is, you know. But, we need to put all our issues on the table, you know, bringing our young men together who are looking and thirsting for guidance, you know. They're coming to the table. So, you know, so tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., you know, come holler at your man. Because I will be there, I will be in the cut, and, you know, we have this interview with Brother Charles, so, you know, without, you know, further ado, let's, you know, before we wrap up the soul experience, you know what I mean, let's go to this interview with one Mr. Osmond J. Charles.
Sounds good.
All right, Big D Darrell Harrington. Right now I am with the Director of Recreation and Cultural Affairs for the City of East Orange, New Jersey. That's right, Illtown, ladies and gentlemen. The one, the only, Mr. Osmond J. Charles. Ozzy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. We just came back from an awesome Safe Fest, and we're getting ready to jump straight into our Father's Conference. Doesn't get any better than that.
It sure doesn't. The city of East Orange, I just want to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, and they say that sometimes, you know, when other people like Donald Trump talks about urban communities and how they're blight and how, you know, it's worse than, you know, third world countries and it's worse than Afghanistan and, you know, it's worse than it's ever been. You know, I would like them to take a trip to East Orange, New Jersey, and just spend some time. Now, I will say this. You know, no knocking any other administration. East Orange has come a long way over the years, through the progression. Whether you want to talk about Cardell Cooper, you know, former Mayor Cooper, you want to talk about former Robert Bowser, but I will say this. the mayor, Lester Taylor Esquire. He has come in and he has brought serious-minded people dealing with serious-minded issues to improve the quality of life of East Orange, where Bob Bowser changed the physical landscape of East Orange, where it physically looks different. But there is an eternal new thing going on here. And one of the bright stars in that new thing going on here is the brother that I'm talking to today. Not meaning to throw the sunshine, but it is what it is. Brother's bringing it in. So, first tell us where did you find recreation when you first came to East Orange, your elevation to your directorship, and maybe it's like some of your goals that you want to do with it?
You know, first and foremost, when we're talking about, you know, shining stars, I want to give a humongous shout out to my mayor, Mayor Lester E. Taylor III.
Yes, sir.
And our city council.
Yes, sir.
Mayor Taylor's vision, all I'm doing is executing a play. I'm executing his vision. He's the mayor of the city. He's a coach.
Yep.
He tells us what the play is. And we run the play. I'm just fortunate and happy to be here. Thank you to the city council for confirming me. And again, a huge shout out to the mayor for appointing me. So I'm just happy to be here. And before anything, I wanted to give a humongous props and show my appreciation to Mayor Taylor, the city council, and this team that we have assembled. And I'm just happy to just be a part of this team.
Most definitely. But everybody needs an Odell Beckham. You know what I mean? Like I said, you be pulling it out the sky with without the temper tantrum. You know what I'm saying? No tantrums, just kill. You know, and you putting it down. Like with what's just transpired with Safe Fest. Having the vision, the overall vision of understanding that we need to be able to address our issues, the violence that happened in our communities, and what I mean, actually, that's dealing with it and being real about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it exists. It exists in East Orange. If you go down South Mund, you know that it is really real. It's not pretend real. It's real. But when you deal with, but, you know, instead of sweeping it under the rug with a whole bunch of platitudes, a whole bunch of, you know, whistling in the dark, pretending something's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
The progression of, you know, being a man. This is what the Man Up Show is about. This is what being a man is all about. This is what our problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of ignoring it or neglecting it and waiting for the problem to get even larger,
mm-hmm.
and to the point where it's unmanageable. No. Let's call it out on the carpet. Let's try to address this right now. Let's bring like-minded and concerned people together in order to have a free and open dialogue. And this was the beautiful thing about it. It was a free and open dialogue. It was an event that lasted all afternoon. And literally, we learned so much from so many different avenues, and we pulled it in. And, you know, that was a blessing. It was a blessing to the community at large. Now, you know, we dealt with this one, but now we're about to enter into the Fatherhood Conference tomorrow. Me personally, I'm bustling. I can't wait. You know, we need to deal with our seed.
Mm-hmm.
We have a story. I mean, it's always been single family home since the beginning of time. Black folks are not, you know, strangers to knowing that, you know, was mama's baby and papa's maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where when I was a child coming up, when a woman was dating a man that was not the father of her child, they referred to that man as uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Joe, Uncle Jim, Uncle mm-hmm. Bob, Uncle Robert. And then, you know, after a while, you start to realize that man ain't my uncle. You know. Be very fond of mama. You know. You know. Hey, I don't know if I like this joker or not. You know, trying to figure all that out. You know. But, you know, we've always had that in our communities. But now, we also used to come up under that adage, if you were an 80s baby, even an early 90s baby, definitely 70s baby, you know, it takes a village to raise a child.
Definitely.
You know, you understood that if you did something wrong, you know, at the corner store before you got home. There was no Twitter. There was no Instagram, no Mm-mm. Facebook, no none of that. Weren't even no cell phones.
At all.
So, you know, but still, before your butt got to the house, everybody done knew what you did, and the consequences is on you, my brother, the second that you got in the dough.
Definitely.
You know, it happened two blocks
literally
away.
Literally on you.
Yeah, yeah, literally on top of you. You know, you know, I am not for brutality, but corporal punishment I am for. You know, it does happen, you know. Change your child's life. Tear his apart when need be. Not because you're upset, not because you're angry, but because you've done stepped way outside the line, and you need a attitude adjustment. And I believe in attitude adjustments. But that's my bicentennial minute. I think that that's on me. But but back to the cause at hand. Okay, what do we want to come out of the Fatherhood Conference?
Well, basically what we want to come out of the Fatherhood Conference is we want to allow the gentlemen that come and participate to find out about the good, the bad, and the ugly of fatherhood.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like oftentimes us as brothers, we don't have the opportunity to sit down and share with each other. Whether it's because we're being macho or
guess what,
we just don't have the time. But I just believe that open dialogue of the good, the bad, and the ugly of fatherhood would allow us not to isolate each other. Share information, share resources.
Right.
The Fatherhood Conference is all about bringing resources directly to fathers, not necessarily fathers, to men in our community.
Right.
It's okay for us to cry.
Right.
It's okay for us to be able to communicate with one another and talking to each other, just letting each other know that our relationship is going bad.
Right.
It's fun. And I find that oftentimes us as brothers, we are too macho. We become too, like, honestly, it's just pretty much macho, or too much pride. Let's just go with pride.
Right.
Too much pride stands in the way of asking for somebody for help.
Yes.
Too much pride stands in the way of sharing experiences because you know that wasn't a really good experience
right.
for you.
Don't look good on
you. Oh, no. That don't look good on your jacket. But instead of taking that opportunity and sharing it with another brother so they don't go down that same path, you hide it. No, let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's just get it all out there on the table.
Put it on the table, right.
Let's help somebody. Your experience is somebody else's guidance.
Right.
So that's what the Fatherhood Conference is all about. We just want to make sure that the fathers come out, get some good dialogue going. There's going to be tons of resources there as far as helping your child get to school, teaching you how to braid your daughter's hair if you're a single dad.
Right, right.
There's going to be a number of things at the Fathers Conference, a number of resources at the Fathers Conference that will be able to assist you in your everyday life.
I hope there's some ties and some belts. Brothers need to know how to wear a tie, especially when, you know, you're going for an interview. Brothers, please do me a favor.
And that's another resource that's also going to be there. We're gonna have a couple of employers there on site.
All right.
Because I know because we know that is one of the biggest gaps in our community.
Yes,
like,
sir.
Honestly, that's how a lot of our black, brown, and Hispanic men. They fall into the correctional facilities. Like, honestly, some of them, for the most part, they don't have the proper resource, i.e. a person to help guide them, show them how to fill out a FAFSA.
Right.
For them to go into
school. Right, right.
So what they do is they result in going in the negative, which is, guess what? If you got it, I'm going to take it from you. Because why? My child needs some Pampers.
Right.
So the goal is to just basically educate. Not only educate, but the goal is to make the brothers that attend feel at home, to feel at ease.
Right.
Let's talk. We are family.
Right.
That's what we are. Oftentimes, we forget that we live in a neighborhood. We just say we in the hood.
Right.
Nah, we're neighbors. We're family.
You know, you're right, because, you know, we have taken the word neighbor out of neighborhood. You know, and, you know, what you left with is
the hood.
Right, you know, so, you know, there's certain things that we've accepted as normal, which there is no way that we should even remotely accept as normal.
At all.
You know, I saw a brother Sunday on my way to church. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Anyway,
yeah.
on the way to church. And I'm watching this brother wearing pajama bottoms and slippers, walking around the street, you know, just going to the store, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And I'm like, dog, there's, you know. I mean, I don't like seeing young ladies rocking their PJs out in the middle of the street. Don't make no sense. But a brother who is sagging, might I add, plus he's sagging in pajama bottoms in the street, just as comfortable, just as
But that's where the neighborhood comes into play.
Right.
Back in the day, you and I both know, if you came out the house like that, somebody would have told you, go back in the house and change your clothes.
Exactly.
Somebody would have told you, pull your pants up.
Right.
You would have been checked from the rip.
Right.
And that's what we need to get back to.
And the sad part is that some of us are afraid, literally afraid, to have a conversation, to have a word with another brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a brother looks just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Just like me,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little younger,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little bit of a tube. When I was young, I had a tube.
Mm-hmm.
I know I did, mm-hmm. you know, but that didn't mean I lost my rabbit mind. Somebody older than me said, hey,
mm-hmm.
I'll holler at you for a minute. Yes, sir. You know, can you do X, Y, and Z? Oh, not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got you. Now, that doesn't mean that maybe 15 minutes later, 20 minutes later, I didn't revert back to the activity that I wanted to do at that time,
mm-hmm.
but I knew enough to respect this man mm-hmm. for being, you know, as we refer to as the OG, mm-hmm. and you know, if this is what you want,
mm-hmm.
let me give you that respect,
mm-hmm.
and not do it, you know, in our days like smoking or whatever. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean. Let me put this out,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm cool.
See. But honestly, and I'm speaking solely from the youth's perspective at this point, the issue that we're having is there is a lack of respect generationally.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Back in the day, utilizing the example that you just gave, the person came up to you and was like, hey, brother, let me talk to you.
Right.
He spoke to you with respect. Hey, brother, let me talk to you.
Right. Exactly.
Respect goes a long way. And it's not what you say.
It's how you say it.
And I'm not the person that's going to sit here and say, well, you ain't going to have a couple of jokers that be like, psh.
Of course.
Yeah, you're going to have those.
Absolutely.
But the odds are in the favor of having the person that's going to be receptive to you as long as you communicate
respectfully. Right.
Like, honestly, I talk to kids every day. I talk to the youth every day.
Right.
I'm talking 25 and younger.
Right.
I can have a conversation or a dialogue with them, and when I walk away, the message that I gave, I received the respect from them,
right.
and they either pulled their pants up, tied their shoe,
right.
whatever the case may be.
Right.
But it's how we interact, and that's where I feel like that connection is lost. Like back in the day, of course, like the way that we communicated was totally different. The way that we communicate today is totally different. Profanity is actually aired on television.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You couldn't say crap before.
You couldn't say nothing on television.
Not even crap.
Yeah, not even the word.
Crap.
That, exactly. So it's like we really need to start thinking about the way that we communicate with each other. Because your brother is different than your little N-word.
Right, exactly, right. Absolutely.
Like, come on. If you're going to call me a little N-word, then I'm going to act like a little N-word.
Exactly.
But if you say, hey, brother,
right.
Oh, that's a little bit more welcoming.
Right. I mean, think about it. I mean, the connotations of, I'm going to say it. Yeah, we're on Blog Talk. You can say it. My nigga.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my sense of ownership, if it's mine, you know, it's mine.
Mm-hmm.
My, and then nigga, my little ignorant person. Because a nigga is an ignorant person. That's what the word means. But we've turned it, you know, some say we've turned it into a word, a term of endearment, tried to take, you know, the negative connotation out of it, and then thus there's power. Okay, maybe you understand it to be that way, and maybe I understand it to be that way, and if me and you are having a conversation, you go, yo, D, you're my nigga, you know, what's going on, da-da-da, and it's just me and you? Okay, maybe. It's just me and you. Go back to there. But when others are around and who do not have an understanding of a differential between one or the other,
mm-hmm.
and they see it as, you know, the way that they infer it to be,
mm-hmm.
then they will go point blank, well, look, they don't have any respect for themselves, so why, you know, we already knew they were animals in the first place. Mm-hmm. That's why we owned them in the first place. Now they're just, you know, playing it out. The sad part about the commentary of what is going on in our societies today, one of the reasons why I think that we are devalued by certain members of society is based upon the fact of the way and the manner that we publicly interact with each other. Okay, now one more time before we get out of here. Oz, tell us what's going on tomorrow so we have this already done.
So tomorrow is definitely going down at Cicely Tyson Community School of the Performing Arts. It's located at 35 Winding Street in East Orange, New Jersey. We are hosting our third annual Fathers Conference, The Many Faces of Fatherhood. Come out. Come have a great time. Trust me. There's going to be a bundle of resources there for you.
Yeah, look. We have been blessed to have Austin Charles bless us with, you know, with this great interview. And we'll be back right after these commercial announcements.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great interview. Great
yes.
interview, big brother. Thank you, Mr. Charles. Thank you so much,
yes,
man.
Yes, thank you, Oz, for coming on and blessing us. And, you know, remember, tomorrow, come out to Cicely Tyson High School and come listen to some very powerful brothers try to bring about change in our community. It's the third annual Fathers Conference, sponsored by the mayor of East Orange, one Mr. Lester Taylor. Big shout out to Mayor Taylor for, you know, the things that he's doing in East Orange.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
big shout out for that. So, you know, yeah, big shout out for that.
Yes, yes.
And what you're doing with EO. So, you know, and, you know, brother Charles, brother Stanley, brother Randy, you know, all them East Orange cats. You know, throwing it down and doing the thing, you know, to help, you know, brothers work it out, you know, because, you know, that's what we're about. We, you know, you got something positive that you're doing for the brothers,
mm-hmm.
you know you got a platform right here, you know, to spread the word. You got a platform right here, to speak your mind. Say what's going down, because, you know,
right.
we are completely about and with, you know, the movement. Like, say, no, the revolution ain't going to be televised. Well, it might not be televised, at least not yet, but it is on air. And, you know, you can catch us, you know, every Friday night, that Friday Night Ride. You know, we rocking this one from 7 to 8:30. You know,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, come join the ride. You know, we might do 7 to 8, you know, if it's big, we'll do 7 to 10. We'll be here all night long. so, best look out, you know, holler and hear somebody, you know, it's got to go down, and, you know, it just got to go down. But, you know, this has been a great, you know, kickoff of our fifth season. You know, we're going to be, you know, we're back. We're back in the saddle. So, you know, I want everybody just to, you know, stay back, you know, buckle in, get ready, because, you know, the man up show is on the air. And, you know, it's been a long time since I had a chance to say that one. But, you know, it's just good to be back, you know, just be back with people.
Yes, it is. It feels good to be back, bro. It's good to be back. It's good to be back. So, with that being said, hello, Big D.
Yep, right here.
Now, I guess we do what we always do. I guess closing remarks. Guess I want to leave it with you last, so I'll go first if you don't mind. And I know you got some inspiring now, B.
Take the floor.
But let me see. I was looking at a couple of things, and something just came across to me. It was from Colin Powell. He says, "Have a vision, be demanding." That's it. Have a vision and being demanding. And basically, you know, that's what I'm going to leave you with. If you have a vision in life, be demanding. Don't compromise your vision and your things that you want to do. There's going to be a lot of naysayers. There's going to be a lot of people say you can't. There's a lot of people you're going to meet a lot of failures. Like, you're going to fall a couple times. Hell, you may fall 10 times if you get it right. But you know what? If you believe in it and you have a vision, dude, go for it. Demand the best of yourself. Because if you don't demand the best of yourself, nobody else is going to demand better than you are. You're your own critic. You're your own person. You're your own engine. So like Colin Powell said, have a vision. Be demanding. That's my ending comment for this show. Big D?
Yes, sir.
Is your closing remarks, Big Dog?
Yep. Yo, 90 minutes goes by so fast. 90 minutes go by so fast. My closing remark for tonight is, you know, to those brothers out there who, you know, feel that, you know, life is beating them up, that feels that, you know, it's unfair, that feels that, you know, that you can't catch a break, feels that, you know, nobody really gives them anyway, so why should I, you know, understand, you know, you are king.
Mm.
You know, you were born a prince of this earth. Your connection to the creator is known. We are the original man. You are a king of this earth. Carry yourself as such. Speak and walk into your future. I mean, if you ain't, you know, there's an old saying, fake it until you make it.
That's right.
You know, don't live in the circumstances that you're in. Live in the tomorrow that you want to be. You know, we're going to have a whole, you know, season of going over some things and saying some things and being about some things. But I'm just going to tell y'all this.
Teach, brother.
Love each other. Love yourselves. That black man, you know, whether he be from a different town than you, whether he be in a different sect than you, whether, you know, he live in a different corner than you, he dressed better than you, he has more money than you, he has less money than you, that is your brother. That is your brother. Your responsibility, your brother, is to love your brother. You know, understand what God has for you is truly for you. And ain't nobody, nowhere, that can take it away from you. So what's yours is yours. Hold on.
That's it. That's it. Very good, my brother. Very good. You did. Now, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. I think, Brother Big D, I think we end off like we always do. Always remember, guys, you know, it's about no excuses time. Any of the men of them. We, and always fight the power. Fight it. I think we need to give a shout out to the brother who played Radio Raheem.
Yo, two shout-outs. One to the brother that played Radio Raheem. You know, God, that's Bill Dunn. You know, Bill Nunn. God rest his soul. And also, we got to give a shout-out to Tommy. Tommy ain't got no job for Martin. You know, Tommy also went home to be with the Lord.
A lot of memories. A lot of memories.
Tommy Ford. You know, so, you know, Bill Nunn, Tommy Ford. You know, we give you that man up salute. God bless you and your families. You know, may God, you know, hold you in the cradle of his arms, and may he comfort your family as they go through this time of bereavement, and may he also encourage your fans to always keep you close to their hearts. So until next week, it's Big D, it's Naz, we back. We'll see y'all next week. We love y'all. Peace.
Hit that button.
Play back.
Power, yeah.